podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Get all the latest football headlines and bite-sized opinion in the brand new Whistleblowers Daily Podcast. Join Mark Smith, Martin Grutten and a conveyor belt of guests as they dissect all the biggest stories in one small, perfectly formed package. Take 5 to 10 minutes out of your day to stay up to date with everything that matters in football. Whether it's a big result from the night before, a new excuse from Jurgen Klopp, a shocker of a VAR decision, or a new chapter in the ongoing Man United soap opera, we will cover it. All the latest news, every weekday lunchtime, on the Whistleblowers Daily Podcast. Look for the Whistleblowers wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothband back in the chair, and Erling Haaland has just scored his first hat-trick for Manchester City, and that proved to be the springboard for an outstanding second-half comeback against Crystal Palace at the weekend. To discuss that and much more, I've got a hat-trick of guests. Welcome to David Blakeney. Hi, David.
Hi, Nigel.
Welcome to Rob Barron, CTID. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Nigel.
And welcome also to Spencer Debson. Hi, Spencer.
Evening, Nigel.
Listen, a game of two halves, Spencer. Let's just get the first half out of the way, please, first, if you wouldn't mind. Kind of how would you sum up that first half performance for City?
Well, gosh, that's a good one to start with, isn't it? It was, we were completely misfiring, weren't we? We didn't look on it at all. I don't really know what to say. We were aping some of our recent performances. I mean, I think that we've been 2 goals behind in 4 of our last 6 Premier League games, which is a bit of a statistic. We haven't lost any of them. We've actually won them all bar the Newcastle game in the end. But it's a curiosity, isn't it, that somehow the starting 11 that we start with these games doesn't stay the distance, and we have to make changes at half time or shortly thereafter and change our formation a little bit, and then the stirring comeback, you know, it's like something from these old westerns, isn't it, with the great comeback. We were just not working very well. Haaland was a little bit wasteful, wasn't he? He had a couple of chances, the header that sort of flashed over. Hit the side netting with a decent effort in context, but we just were not firing, and we were just not cohesive at all. I simply can't explain it. I don't know if the others can.
Rob, feeling of deja vu, I think a bit. Rob, Palace, of course, thinking back to last season.
Absolutely. What I noticed was I thought Edison had a poor first half, and he was responsible for at least one of the goals. I thought KDB, who is a prince and who walks on water, didn't walk on water yesterday, and his passes kept showing him that he's human after all. And I thought that Walker had a poor first half, not really being aligned to the role of being in midfield. And Palace played very well. And City looked a bit sloppy, which they can do from time to time.
It's a bit of a conundrum, isn't it, David? We've had sloppy, we've had the fact that Walker doesn't seem to have... This inverted fullback doesn't seem to suit him particularly. He's had a couple of poor games, and of course that's he's been outstanding for so many seasons. Your thoughts and reflections before we get on to the amazing second half? Anything else on the first half you can add?
I mean, I thought Stones was unlucky with the own goal. He just hit him, so... I wouldn't blame him for that. Yeah, we were just poor. But we've been poor many times last season. And even if we've not been behind, it's taken us to the second half. What I do think is Pep has been absolutely brilliant at his substitutions. In those 4 games when we've been down, he's done absolutely masterstrokes. Where we used to criticise his substitutions, he seems to be getting it right. And he's done brilliantly this time. So... That's a positive.
So just sticking with you, David, then. So we're sitting there at half-time, 2-0 down. What were your thoughts? And what do you think needed to happen at that point?
Well, my thoughts were probably similar to the Villa game, that how are we going to get through them? At 2-0 up, they're going to park the bus, like I thought Villa would. And I didn't know how we're going to get through them. And this time I thought we'd blown it. And I was quite depressed at half-time because it's just not what we wanted. But... there's always hope, isn't there? But on this occasion, I was quite surprised we came back that well. So it was a pleasant surprise this time.
So let's start, David, if we can. We'll obviously come on to Haaland. I mean, most weeks he seems to dominate this show, but for obvious reasons. But that hat-trick was outstanding, of course. But let's start with Bernardo Silva, because I think whilst Haaland probably got man of the match in many people's eyes, what an influence he had. And the tactical switch, of course, having him outright, of course, made a big difference. And just what a player. And thank goodness he's staying.
Yeah. Well, I'll say two things. A, Silva was magnificent. And at last, actually, Foden managed to do an assist for Haaland. And I think basically when all those players get used to Haaland and he gets used to them and they all start to understand each other, you know, because let's face it, Haaland's not really got going yet in theory, has he? Because we haven't found him most of the times. I mean, how many times has Foden failed to find him when he should have done? So I actually think that Silva was brilliant. He was my man of the match, actually. And I just think we were superb in that second half. I mean, some of the football was magnificent, some of the moves. So as bad as we were in the first, we were brilliant in the second.
How much an influence do you think Spencer Silva was? What did you pick out from his particular performance? Again, as I keep saying, before we get on to Haaland, we can wax lyrical in a moment. Let's just stick with Silva for a moment. And anybody else who caught you the eye?
Well, he was fantastic. Again, I agree with David. He was my man of the match, really. But I suppose you can't deny it when the cameras are there and someone scored a hat-trick. He was absolutely mesmeric in the second half. And it seems that we sometimes need to be going behind to actually wake up and play the game that we know we can play. But it's interesting because he's still the subject of transfer speculation. I suppose we've got to sweat out the last couple of days, and I suppose now he's staying, and thank goodness for that. But his performance level over the last 2 years, really, there's been speculation, has been high, and he had an absolutely fantastic second half. And I think he set the tone and really sort of inspired everybody else in many ways, because he was dancing rings, wasn't he, around the left back out there. First goal, it was a solo effort, wasn't it? And I thought we would score. I thought we will inevitably score. But I thought then, you know, we might get caught on the break and we might end up losing the game. But certainly he brought us back into the game. And then as soon as we equalised, I thought, you know, I think everyone thought we're going to win this, because we were, I don't know what the possession stats were, but we must have been 75-80% possession during that second half.
Absolutely. Rob, what caught your eye in the second half? What turned it round for you?
Well, first of all, I think you're the referee, so I bow to your judgment. But I thought we were a little lucky not to be 3-0 down at half time. And that gave me encouragement, because if it had happened the other way round, I would have been claiming that was a legitimate goal. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that after the Aston Villa game, You always think that there's a chance that City are going to come back. And it was just fabulous. And what I like about Haaland is that after the game, when Foden congratulated him on scoring the goals, he replied, "Finally, you give me a pass." And, you know, this guy is down to earth, but he's also not afraid to say what he thinks. And he scored three wonderful goals, all different, all illustrating the versatility that he has, and that he's not an old-fashioned centre-forward of the old school. And playing with KDB and Foden and Bernardo is just delicious for him. And so it was really not entirely unexpected, particularly when the first goal went in.
I mean, we're obviously on to Haaland, and I'm just thinking, Spencer, from your point of view, I mean, that third goal in particular, I mean, he had Ward and Anderson kind of all over him, so it wasn't a straightforward goal at all. He had to deal with them, and he still had plenty to do once he'd got past them as well to slip it past the keeper. So a fantastic hat-trick, and what an asset. I mean, how good is he, Spencer?
Oh, he's amazing, isn't he? I mean, often we have such high expectations of something happening, don't we? And it was all there with Haaland. We'd got this great expectation. It's being met, dare I say, met and exceeded at this stage. I mean, when he received that ball, brilliant wonderful pass from Gundogan, fantastic pass. But he had a lot to do there. He had the two central defenders around him. And I was actually discussing with my dear cousins, Mark and Jake Ballin, this very afternoon, if Aguero had got the ball in that situation, would he have scored? And the conclusion was, well, he may well have done, but in a very different fashion to the way that Haaland does it. He's absolutely direct. He sort of, you know, sort of palmed one of the defenders off in a sort of semi-rugby union style. Trap the ball, it's on his left side, assured finish. And I think there's very few strikers in the world that would routinely convert from receiving a ball in that fashion. The moment he got that ball, I think there was only one outcome, and it was absolutely sumptuous. World-class finish.
David, Mark and Jake are keen to hear what you have to say as well, I'm sure. So I'm delighted Spencer's been able to give them a mention. Perhaps you can sort of help them understand a bit more about your view as well. Welcome to the show, Mark and Jake, by the way. Always good to have you along every week.
I tell you what I found quite staggering is the speed of his feet. Because when
is this Mark or Jake or Haaland? Whose feet you're talking about?
Haaland's feet.
Oh, Haaland's feet. Sorry. So I thought we were back to Mark and Jake again. Sorry.
No. Haaland's. I think Haaland, the speed of those feet is what has surprised me more than anything. When you watch that third goal and you watch it from behind the goal in slow motion, they're quick. I mean, like lightning quick. And that is what separates him out in those positions. I think probably his weakest point seems to be he's not as prolific in the air as I thought it would be, but he's far better on the ground than I thought he might be, or he's certainly exceeding what I thought. But I've been surprised he's not better in the air. But maybe that's just early days, I don't know. Maybe the crosses aren't coming in right. But the guys, he hasn't even got going, as I said. And when he gets going, blimey.
when you say he's not got going, he scored, David, six goals in four appearances. What do you expect from the bloke? How disappointing is that? You're a tough.
No. That's inverted commas. Everyone said it would take him half a season to get going, and he won't get going. I said, well, he hasn't got going really yet, because wait till the rest of our players find him more often. Because let's face it, how many more goals? He could have scored 2, 3, 4 more goals had Foden and people like Foden actually made his passes count. So that's what I mean. We've maybe as a team not got going around him yet enough for him to be even more prolific.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Rob, I'm interested to hear from you about Haaland a bit more, because obviously you've been watching football slightly longer than the rest of us. How good is he from your point of view?
Well, he cost half of what Harry Kane would have cost. And he's 8 years younger. He's right at the beginning of his career. And I haven't seen in Europe a player of his equal as a striker at the moment. And I think that is a fabulous acquisition for the future and for now. And I think that it just shows the value of waiting for the right person to come along, not just paying a lot of money for somebody that could fit the bill. And it's the attitude that is really combined with the skill and the commitment. You know, this player wants to be part of a successful team and wants to improve. And there's no sign of any arrogance whatsoever. And I think he's the best acquisition that we've made for a very long time, perhaps since David Silva or Aguero. I mean, £50 million, Nigel, is not a lot of money when Anthony Gordon is being who's a very good player, but you know, he's not a world class player. He's been suggested that he's going to cost a lot more than that.
I'm keen to pick up on something you said earlier, Rob, as well. I've got two incidents written down, actually, to talk about. The first one was the rollout from Edison, who in my eyes, I think it should have been a free kick, because I don't think you can stand in front of keepers and stop them from distributing the ball that way. So for me, I probably would have given the free kick either way. The other one, of course, was the high boot from Haaland as well. So there were kind of two that kind of were just worth touching on as well, because City were quite critical of a certain Liverpool striker who sort of bared down on our goalkeeper with this, you could argue, a similar incident and so on. And obviously he came off a bit worse. Just your thoughts on both of those, Rob. You've had a go already in terms of the rollout, feeling probably it could or should have been a go. So where are you on those? Did Haaland got off lightly in terms of his high boot, or fair enough? And what about the rollout? How did you see that one?
Well, first of all, on the rollout, I bow to your professional judgment as a referee on that, so that's fine. But on the high boot, I've looked at it quite a bit, and Mane had both feet off the ground in his incident, whereas Haaland wasn't really in sight of the player who ducked his head. And I would have given a yellow card for that, and certainly not a red card. And it's very interesting to me that the manager of Crystal Palace didn't say anything critical at all. He left it to his aggressive chairman, who said absolutely nothing about the disgraceful arm in the face that Cancelo got from Ayew. So if the chairman of Crystal Palace is going to make statements about Haaland, he should also make statements about his own player, who committed a great disgraceful act which wasn't punished at all.
Indeed, wasn't. Neither of them were punished, of course. So, Spencer, where are you on this one? Or these two, indeed.
Well, I mean, the difference between the Mane and the Haaland is sort of like the player that's administering the kick, to be honest, because it wasn't sort of aggressive or reckless in the context of Haaland and his stature, and it was definitely an attempt at the ball. I could see it argued both ways. And the goalkeeper one, I don't know what the actual rule is there. As I understand it, and correct me, Nigel, if I'm wrong, if the ball has left the goalkeeper's hands and there's then a momentary interception and it's just not in his hands at all, then there's an argument that it's okay. So I don't know whether that was the case here, but I think the fact that it was at home and it was City and it was arguable probably swayed the referee, to be honest. But again, funnily enough, I was reminded by Mark and Jake that Andy Dibble had a similar incident some years back, and I believe a goal was given on that occasion.
Well, if you agree with Mark and Jake, let us know. We are, as you know, on Twitter, City Podcast. Mark and Jake would like to hear from you. They're here every week, and I know they want to hear from you. David, back to you in terms of Mark and Jake. No, sorry, back to you in terms of Haaland and the rollout from Edison. How do you see those two incidents yourself before we hear from Mark and Jake?
I think the rollout from Edison, he seemed to blow his whistle pretty quickly, didn't he? I mean, literally, and maybe that's an indication that he didn't think it left totally the hands. So it's very hard to say. I'm not seeing enough of it to keep going through that. But I think it's a 50-50. I think with the Haaland incident, he's 6'5" with the longest legs I've ever seen. And I think he generally went for the ball, because he's got such long legs, he feels he could get there. I don't think there's any intent. He's going for the ball. So I think it's been quite harsh, even a yellow to me. So, you know.
All right. Six 6'4", just to be clear. But you know.
I thought it was 6'5".
I think he's 6'4". I think he's 6'4".
Grown by an inch since in the last 6 months, apparently.
Okay. We'll ask Mark and Jake. They'll know. Listen, what does this mean for the season? I suppose we could just mention Liverpool briefly. We're a few points ahead of them already. Can we read anything into this so early in the season then, Spencer? This kind of City's title nailed on, some people are saying. You know, we can... Well, all bets are off.
Not nailed on, but it's been a curious set of results already, hasn't there, from the part of Liverpool, on the part of Chelsea, on the part of Man United, dare I say it. So it's yet to sort of settle down into a pattern. But I feel really optimistic about the way we've started the season, because as David said, you know, we haven't sort of got going yet in the sense of sort of gelling. I mean, Alvarez has had very little pitch time so far, and he looks fantastic. Cole Palmer looks fantastic. He's probably not going to get much pitch time. And there's others in the background. So I really, you know, think that we'll definitely be right in the mix for the title this year. It's not going to be a runaway, I don't think. I think other teams will also gel and improve, and you know, Liverpool clearly will recover and be right up there. But I'm feeling you know, really optimistic, very excited, obviously, at Haaland's start. And the Champions League, I'm sure we'll come on to it, but we're about to start that one. So I'm starting to get excited about the Champions League.
Yeah, we'll come on to that, obviously. Rob, I'm just keen. I know it's ridiculously early in the season, but you've got to be encouraged, haven't you, by the start of some of the other big sides around us and the excellent start that we've made as well. It does bode well, doesn't it, for the season?
Well, it's fabulous. And the nice thing is that many of my international friends who watch the Premier League every week come in to me. They don't necessarily support City, but they say on the basis of what they've seen, we are the team to beat, however good the other teams are. And I think that's right. And that's very encouraging. But a lot will depend on two things. One is keeping injury free. You know, Haaland has a reputation for not being able to sustain more than 30 odd games in a season. So we need an alternative to that, which Alvarez may be the person to do that. And also the fixtures come very, very close together before the World Cup. And so the depth of the squad will be critical to sustain us through to the beginning of the World Cup. But it's very exciting, and I can't wait for Wednesday night. I'm already excited about that.
And we'll come on to that as well. David, just briefly, in terms of the season ahead, how do you see it panning out, bearing in mind the excellent start we've had and our local rivals around us not doing quite so well?
I think our bench is stronger this year. I think Alvarez, to me, is going to be exciting. I think Palmer looks really good, like one said. I think the new left back could be... I think he might be pretty good as well. I think he might be better than we think. You just get a feeling he's, you know, if you look at what he did last year, he might be young, but he's not that young. So I just think we're quite strong now in every position. And where last year, who are the two players we moaned about every time on the WhatsApp group? Yeah, it would be either Jesus or Sterling, and they're not there. We haven't really got anyone to moan about now, have we? I just think we've got a very strong side.
Sergio Gomez, of course, is the left back that you're referring to, just to help you out there, David, and we're here to help. We've not seen a lot of him, of course, but any thoughts? Anybody seen any signs of anything they want to just pick up on in terms of Gomez?
He's a proper footballer. He's not a defending fullback with limited skills. He's versatile, and that's exactly the kind of player that Pep wants and needs for the system that he plays. So that's very exciting and very promising. And if he's good enough for Vincent Kompany, he's good enough for me.
Excellent. Listen, let's talk about the Champions League. We know our group now, of course. And just to remind people, I'm sure we all know Sevilla, FC Copenhagen and Borussia Dortmund, interestingly, of course. Your thoughts and reflections, David, ahead of that group. What do you think when that came out the hat?
I was pretty pleased with that. I think it's as good as we're going to get. It wasn't the group of death like they thought we might get. Yeah, I'm happy with that. They're all teams we should beat. And, you know, we normally enjoy this stage of the Champions League, don't we? So we should be all right on that. We're not too worried.
No concern, Spencer? You're happy with that too?
Well, I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's fixture congestion, isn't it? That is the concern. And also the fact that, you know, injuries can play a part. We are letting a lot more goals this year than we have in the recent past. So we do have to tighten up. You know, these are not Champions League entrants for no reason at all. They're all decent teams. And particularly the homecoming with Dortmund, which you imagine will be quite charged with Haaland going back there. So I don't think we can relax too much. But as David said, I think we've at the end of the day, we should easily qualify from this group, and we should be top, shouldn't we?
Any thoughts, any insights from any of these clubs, Rob? Copenhagen, Sevilla, or Dortmund? Any thoughts ahead of these?
Well, when we played Dortmund last time, what concerned me was that they had a player called Haaland who I thought might cause problems. So I'm glad he's now on the other side. I think that Seville should not be underestimated. They're a very experienced European team. They win a lot. That will be a very difficult tie. But considering who we avoided from Group 2, that's pretty good. And we should be able to dispatch Copenhagen, providing that we don't become complacent and overconfident. But it's a good draw.
So back to the Premier League then, as already been indicated, we entertained Forest, of course, at the Etihad midweek on Wednesday night. And as we've said, these games now, I think, pretty much all the way through, we've got midweek, weekend, and it kind of starts now. And then, of course, we go to Villa, who are struggling quite badly under Steven Gerrard. What a shame. But let's talk about Forest first, back in the Premier League after quite a long time away. Rob, your thoughts ahead, you must have seen some great Forest sides back in the day. European Cup winners, of course, you will remember.
Yes, I remember Brian Clough and what a great manager he was for a time. I also went to Main Road once a very long time ago, and City were 3-0 against Nottingham Forest, and they drew the game. One always remembers that. What's interesting about Forest is they have a very good manager. Highly competent manager. He managed Foden in the England under-19s, was it, or under-17s. He's no mug. He knows what to do. But he's bought 17 players in the transfer window, which is more than anybody else. So they're a bit of an unknown quantity. And if we play to our nearly best, and we should be able to beat them. But it's a bit of a mystery why he's bought so many players.
Spencer, your thoughts ahead of the Forest game midweek?
Yeah, I mean, they've got all these new players, haven't they? So, but I mean, Jesse Lingard is a match winner when he wants to be, isn't he? And apparently against Spurs the other day, Forest sort of were in many ways the better footballing team. They just sort of lack that clinical, the finish. So I don't see why there won't be a repeat of that. We're at home. I think we'll have far too much for them. But I think it'll be a footballing game. And I mean, the one fantastic thing with all the City games is for any independent, which we are not, they are fantastic footballing spectacles. And so I think this will be, you know, another good entertaining game. But I'm sure we'll win it.
And the big question, David, is kind of what's the rotation Pep's going to go for? He's got another game, as I said, at the weekend. Difficult to go into the game with the same starting 11, I would imagine. He's going to ring the changes. Any thoughts ahead of that?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll give a couple of people a bit of a rest. I think he's more concerned about the back and bedding those in. I mean, we do have to remember that we've been quite disjointed at the back since the end of last season with all those injuries. And none of those players are really properly match fit, are they, at the moment? Because they've all had those injuries. So I think maybe whether he puts in Gomez at the left, give him a go. I'm sure he'll change one in the middle at some point. But he likes to keep most of the same players, doesn't he? He doesn't love switching it until like the second half. So I think a couple of changes maybe, and that's about it.
Rob, any thoughts? Here's us trying to second guess Pep, of course, which is never an easy thing to do. I know that Mark and Jake probably are better at it than us, but we'll leave that to them. But your thoughts, Rob, about that?
Yeah, I would play Gundogan on Wednesday. He's also having a purple patch of form. He hasn't had enough game time. He hasn't moaned about it. And it might be an opportunity to give Bernardo a rest. I don't know about Grealish. What is up with Grealish? Why is he not
injured? No,
I believe he's picked up a knock. Yeah, that's the situation. Obviously, he wasn't in the squad for the last two games. So it's injury, I think, as I understand it, as opposed to anything else. You think what some sort of conspiracy theory here? Then is the Rob you're thinking?
No, I don't believe in conspiracy theories, Nigel. That's not for me. But I would like to see him play. Because when he plays, he holds up the game, he annoys other players, He concentrates people to come around him, and so he takes pressure off other players, and that's good. And I want to see more of Alvarez, because every time he's come on, he looks a really good player. And, is he a substitute for Haaland? Maybe not. I mean, maybe they can play together. And I don't quite know the answer for Wednesday night, but I would like to see him have more time.
And obviously, with Villa at the weekend, Spencer, it would be good to have Grealish back, I suppose, or not, as the case may be. I was actually talking to a Villa fan today, and of course, as we know, they fall into two very distinct categories. Those that will applaud and cheer their own lad who's gone off to earn himself lots of money that he deserves, which this guy just happened to be in that category, versus those, for some reason, want to boo Grealish and give him a hard time. Your thoughts ahead of that Villa game? Great time to play Villa, potentially, of course. Struggling, City on hitting a bit of form. It could be quite a good opportunity, I guess, at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost three of the first four, haven't they? They're clearly down after that last defeat. They've all got good players. I mean, you know, Ings, Ollie Watkins on their day. But I think that we will catch them at a weak point, and I think we'll overpower them. I think that I'm hoping that Alvarez plays, because I think we need two number nines on the pitch, because we all like a 99, don't we? And I think let's give them a little bit of a... Bit of run time at the weekend.
David, play them both, Haaland and Alvarez. You a fan of that?
You could, yeah. I mean, he'd play Alvarez on the right, wouldn't he? So that would be quite interesting, and give Bernardo a rest. But then, you know, I do agree Gundogan, I think, should be playing. So a bit hard to second guess. What I would say is that I think, you know, we think it's a great time to play Villa, but I think Liverpool thought it was a good time to play Man United, and that didn't go so well, did it? So... You just don't know, do you? I mean, it'd be our luck they turn good on the one day when they're supposed to not be good.
Rob, your thoughts then, finally, ahead of the Villa game at the weekend?
Well, I think we're going to win. I think it's going to be a passionate game. I think we have too much for Aston Villa, and I greatly look forward to seeing the game.
Excellent. Can I say a huge thanks to my three guests, to David Blakeney, to Spencer Debson, and to Rob Barron, CTID. This is Nigel Rothman saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.